For nearly 50 years, New York was the semi-permanent home of the NFL draft. But since the league decided to turn its marquee off-season event into a traveling roadshow in 2015, it's been staged in six different host cities, including this year in Las Vegas. Next up in 2023, Kansas City. Now a discussion about what the next year looks like in terms of planning and preparation, why it's become such a big deal, and what it means to Kansas City fans. We'll begin this morning with KCUR sports reporter Greg Eklund. Greg, always good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Steve. Am I on the clock?
You're on the clock. We're all on the clock here. Kansas City's on the clock, Greg. So help me here. Since when is the NFL draft? Why is it such a big deal? Because I'm old enough to remember a time when it was barely a blip on anybody's radar screen.
Well, it has always been the foundation, pretty much, for building a football team and its ultimate success. You build through the draft, you make some trades, and you sign some free agents, but the basic foundation for building a team that you want to play in the Super Bowl comes from the draft.
You know, the energy around this event is simply stunning. I mean, I find myself getting swept up in it, and I don't even know why that is sometimes. I mean, there's something about watching people enjoy one of the seminal moments in their lives when they're drafted in real time. That's pretty cool, but it is an amazing event that way.
It really is, because all the stories come out about the individuals, their backgrounds, and how they got to this point. From, you know, many of them in very modest backgrounds. So the individual stories, I think, is part of what makes the draft and it makes it so interesting.
But still, we did some research here, Greg, and we found that each year roughly 260 players get drafted, and maybe at the end of the day, two, maybe three, go on to have Hall of Fame NFL careers. So teams, they miss a whole lot more than they get it right, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, if you're making them into Hall of Famers, yes. But those are the rarities. But there are so many more, especially those at the lower rounds or those who are not drafted and signed as free agents, who still go on to have 4, 5, 6 year NFL careers, and they're successful at it.
We got some numbers here, Greg, based on Pro Football Reference putting together some numbers a few years ago. From 1996 to 2016, they found that about 17% of draft choices didn't even play for the team that drafted them. 37% were considered useless. They didn't play much or they didn't make the team. So right there, you're over 50%. 10% were considered average, 12% were considered good, 7% were considered great, and as I said, 1% were considered legendary. So that means, again, of 260 or so drafted players, two or three go on to the Hall of Fame, just 6%, 7% are considered great. Those are awful numbers, Greg.
They are awful numbers, but the NFL draft is based on dreams. And of guys who want to get in that upper echelon of those who eventually make the Hall of Fame or those who have those successful careers. But as you mentioned, Steve, a lot of it doesn't work out. But I guess if you want to label the NFL draft 3 days of it, it's almost like a fantasy night because most of those dreams don't work out,
yeah,
but several of them do.
I should point out that our Patrick Mahomes, even the year he was drafted, Greg, he wasn't the first quarterback picked. So even some other teams got that wrong.
Well, the Chicago Bears are constantly reminded about not taking Patrick Mahomes, and even Patrick Mahomes reminded them that in the game that they played in Chicago during their Super Bowl season, at the end of the season, when he was counting on his fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
right,
and Trubisky, who was the Bears quarterback that was selected, is not even, as you state, not with his original team. He has moved on.
So 8% of draft picks, you know, have some impact. 30% see a lot of playing time, make a significant contribution. You're looking at 38% here. So what are some factors for why these teams tend to pick the wrong players more often than not?
Well, some of it is based on the human element. I mean, you could go to the combine and measure for speed and size and the size of your hands, but what you cannot measure is what is in the heart, or you cannot measure, I mean, you could go by injury history in college, but sometimes beyond college, the players get hurt and their careers are derailed, and some of them never recover from those injuries. So there are a lot of factors that enter into it.
So they end up at the wrong team. Maybe the coaching style doesn't work. Their playing style doesn't fit. There's all of those factors too, right?
Right. Absolutely. And there are those who, like you say, the Chiefs had on their roster a cornerback who was a former first-round pick for another team who didn't work out for that team. And he didn't work out for the Chiefs either. And a lot of it is based on the kind of system that a team runs, both offensively and defensively.
Well, the Chiefs the last couple of years seem to have a pretty good track record. Maybe they're beating the odds. This past draft in Las Vegas, the Chiefs made some picks that a lot of fans are excited about. How did you regard their draft?
I thought they did very well. They had 12 picks, which was a lot. Five alone they had they picked up in the Tyreek Hill trade, although I should mention that two of those picks are for next year. So they were not only stockpiling for draft choices this year, but they added a couple of picks for next year in the Tyreek Hill trade. And then they had two in the first round, and they used one of them. They traded a pick to go higher in the first round to get the Trent McDuffie, a cornerback from Washington. He was their first pick, and then with their second pick in the first round, they picked a defensive end from Purdue named George Karloftis. Heavily on the defensive side this year with their 10 picks, 7 on defense, 2 on offense, rather 3 on offense.
So you said they had 10 picks total?
10 picks total. They originally had 12, but they traded two of them,
okay.
So they had 10 picks.
So if 5 of those players make the team, is that a successful draft then for the Chiefs?
I think it is, especially a team that that is deep. The better the team is, the harder the draft choice has a chance to make that team because of the quality of the frontliners and, in some cases, the quality of the depth on the team.
Greg, give us a broader sense here. How much goes into a team drafting the perfect player? What kind of preparation goes into these drafts these days? Because these are scientific examinations, to say the least, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. There is so much study. They not only follow them playing the game, they do background checks, character studies. Again, are they the kind of player to fit in with the Chiefs team as far as character, as far as their style of play? I mean, it goes back to what you were saying before. Not everybody is going to fit in with the Chiefs, but they may play successfully for another team that has a different philosophy.
Which positions typically get drafted in the top rounds, the early rounds of the draft, Greg?
Well, I think there are different trends, just depending on the depth of the draft at certain positions. A couple of years ago, we had a lot of quarterbacks taken. This would not be one of the quarterback years, but next year is regarded as a more promising years promising year for quarterbacks. It just depends on what the depth at certain positions are entering the draft.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a time when running backs were a big deal when it comes to draft day, but boy, times have changed on that score.
Yeah, that's very much true, because now the Chiefs went of course, they were picking late in the first round after they won the Super Bowl. They had the last pick of the first round after winning the Super Bowl, and they picked a running back who really is out of LSU, who was really Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm speaking of, a more all-around player. He can not only run the ball, but the Chiefs like the kind of guys who could run and make some receptions out of the backfield.
Okay, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about the NFL draft coming to Kansas City next April. It's going to be a big deal here in town. We're giving you a preview of what to expect. I want to bring in two other guests now to join Greg Eklund, and they are Kathy Nelson. She's the CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission. Kathy, always good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Aubrey Walton is the NFL Director of Event Location Strategy and Planning. Aubrey, good to have you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Aubrey, how did Kansas City get picked to host the 2023 NFL Draft?
Well, it was a very long process, yes, which Kathy can also chime in on. But it started in roughly 2017 or 2018, so it's been about a 5-year process at minimum thus far. But what we started talking about was the NFL side sends out what we call expressions of interest, and that goes out to all 32 clubs, and it's a conversation between the clubs and the host city to then determine if they submit an expression of interest to host the draft. So once Kansas City filled that out, what we do is we connect with them and brainstorm about what the event could potentially look like, mm-hmm, in their city. And so in conversations with Kathy and her team, and then along with the Chiefs, we kind of started this brainstorming session where, hey, this really could look really cool in Kansas City, especially with a potential Union Station background against the draft.
Right.
And so it's just been a continual conversation these last 5 years of kind of connecting on, okay, what are the venues going to be? What are the hotels going to be? What are some of these special elements that Kansas City can bring to the draft that's going to make it so unique to that host city?
Right.
And so it has been a very, very helpful process to have Kathy and the Chiefs at the helm of this, because they're the ones that, right, ultimately are gathering the community support and ultimately helping us on the NFL side.
Well, Kathy, you were laughing when Aubrey began talking about how long of a process this is. Why were you laughing?
Well, I think sometimes our community doesn't always, not that they don't appreciate, but sometimes people just don't understand. Like, it wasn't that we just met Aubrey and her team at the NFL and said, we should host this in Kansas City, and they said yes. It takes years to form what your bid, if you will look like. It also takes years to form relationships and trust and ideas and budgets. So I think Aubrey's right. This has been this incredibly long process, but it's been so rewarding already, and it's not even here yet.
Aubrey, who picked Kansas City? Who has the power to make that choice?
Ultimately, it comes down to the 32 owners. So it's my team that comes and does all the behind the scenes work with Kathy and team. And then we take that information that we find and create to the commissioner. And then ultimately we present that information to the 32 owners.
Was there an actual vote by the 32?
What was that?
Was there an actual vote by the 32 owners?
There's not an official like vote, but they have the opportunity to say yes or no.
Well, Kathy Nelson, what can residents here then expect next year in the run-up to the draft, in the weeks preceding it? How is Kansas City going to reflect the fact that the draft is on its way?
Well, I think we are so well known for big events like this and pretty much taking over the city. So, you know, in the months leading up, there'll be a lot more energy. We'll see a lot of media stories as we finalize the stage location, the opportunities to engage with the draft, whether that's as a volunteer or maybe food and beverage. I mean, there's legacy projects that come with this. So we have a lot of work to do, and you'll continue as it starts to unfold, because there's so many unknowns, you will hear more and more about this and ways to get involved. I think the other thing to always remember too, and I'm really proud of this, the NFL does this, that it's a free event for our community. And so if you're a fan of football or a fan of sports or fan of the game or of competition, you'll want to be down here and check it out. There'll be things that it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I think leading up to that, there'll be some impact, you know, there'll be road closures as we build out the stage, and we work so well with the city on that. But I think you'll really see the draft really start to take over the city, and that energy and excitement and how you can participate will become more and more clear.
Kathy, I'm picturing this in my mind, at least, as Commissioner Goodell coming out and, you know, on an outside stage right in front of Union Station, announcing the first pick of the 2023 draft. Am I seeing that correctly in my mind?
You know, that's yet to be determined. We work very closely with Aubrey and her team. I would tell you that's our goal, is that we anticipate the stage to be located near the Union Station. I think until we really get some feet on the ground with designers and engineers, you know, the weight of the stage is a consideration. We, you know, we've put those stages for our Super Bowl and World Series parades isn't going to work necessarily because of weight limits. So as we work together closely in the coming months and that starts to unfold, we'll have a clearer picture about that.
How is the city reacting to, you know, the fact that we're going to be hosting this thing next year, Kathy? What are you picking up around town already?
Well, my inbox and my email is full every week of dozens of emails of either, you know, I want my not-for-profit to participate, I want to be a vendor, you know, I want to host a party, how do I get on stage, how do I sit close to the stage? I mean, it's, the excitement is definitely contagious. Our office, we have weekly meetings as our staff goes, just to make sure. In 2023 is an extremely busy year for us. It will be record-breaking, not only for the Sports Commission, but for the city. In 2023, we have, of course, all of our basketball back, MIAA, Big 12, NAI, and we also are hosting a men's NCAA regional, Sweet 16,
wow,
Elite 8 next year. And then we roll into the draft, and then the week following, we have our Sports ETA National Convention, which is the National Convention of Sports Commissions around the country for the first time ever in our city. So between March and the beginning of May, we are hopping. And to know that the draft is the biggest event our city will have ever hosted as the signatory event next year is pretty exciting.
Wow. Aubrey Walton, Kansas City, in reading about this, actually won the rights to host this draft back in 2019. Why such a long lead time? You know, 4 years before the draft actually takes place. Why so many years in between?
Yeah, I mean, the short and great answer to this is that this event just continues to grow and grow and grow every single year. And so therefore, we need more hotel rooms, we need more venues, we need to start marketing earlier. So based on the examples that Kathy even just shared, other conventions, other organizations, they're bringing their major events to these same cities. And so we have to try and get ahead of them to get those different locations and venues that we need to be able to even host the draft. Huh. So planning 3 to 5 years out is crucial.
And also, obviously, yeah, right, we are working on projects, events, conventions. When I put my Visit KC hat on as CEO of that organization, we're working on things for 2033.
Wow.
So
wow,
we are learning that you to do these events, and just like whether it's a Super Bowl or men's regionals or the NFL draft, we do work so far out to get those locked in.
Kathy, why Union Station to be the ground zero site for this draft? Why was that location picked?
Well, when we actually had the opportunity to pitch the idea of hosting the NFL draft, we actually had numerous locations. We know the history of the World War I National Museum and Memorial and the backdrop of Union Station. We know from the success of planning the World Series parade, planning the Super Bowl parade, how that looks. Those visuals, those parade pictures led our NFL draft pitch. There's no doubt we showed that we can host, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this footprint. The amount of open space we have, the acreage we have, the grass, the streets, how it all comes together. And our city is used to activating around that area. We also had included in our pitch the Nelson Atkins Museum, Tice Park, Emmanuel Cleaver Boulevard, that area could be another location. And then we'd also pitched Arrowhead itself, the footprint being the parking lots. I do think our city shows so well when you see us on national television.
Right.
That is a shot that everyone has, and let's just continue to showcase that.
You know, Aubrey Walton, you know, as you think about this, I'm just guessing that Patrick Mahomes is going to wind up playing a role in this thing.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. we would love to have him integrated in some way.
You know,
he's the star of the city over there.
Yeah, no kidding. And since Kansas City, Kathy, isn't the biggest city compared to other towns where the draft has been held, does that make planning for this event easier or tougher?
I don't know. I think it's maybe the same, right? This is still, no matter what, when we're working with Aubrey and her team, there's still all the same details. You know, we'll have the new airport open, so maybe that makes it a little tougher because the unknowns of all of the things at the new terminal will be interesting for us to learn about. But I think our city embraces this so well, and it, you know, this will be the biggest thing ever our city's hosted, and I think maybe that makes it a little easier because of the excitement.
I think that's hard for some people to wrap their arms around, Kathy. This is what you just said. This is the biggest event this city has ever hosted. I mean, really, compared to the Republican National Convention and the Chiefs Super Bowl parade and all those things?
Well, this is the Chiefs Super Bowl parade times 3 days.
Wow. Okay. And you mentioned the new terminal at KCI. That thing only will have been open for about a month by the time the NFL draft comes around. Does that make you a little anxious?
Of course it does. But, you know, I'm working with Pat Klein and Joe McBride and Justin and all the great people there. I mean, it makes me anxious, but just because of the unknown of, you know, where does signage go? How do we direct travelers that are coming into our city? Are all the bathrooms working? Are the luggage carousels working? That's not anything I can control, but certainly we are already in conversations and multiple text messages about what the draft will mean for the airport.
I'm wondering, Aubrey, was it a close race between Kansas City and other towns to get this draft in 2023?
For this one, we had tapped Kansas City to host 23. So normally we do have competing cities, but for this one specifically, we challenged KC to bring their best efforts forward for the bid and work together to imagine this amazing event that it's about to be. And so we just knew right away this was the best choice for the event and the best host year for KC.
Kathy, just a couple of final things. What are we going to see around town that will tell residents that the draft is just around the corner?
I think what you're used to when you think of college basketball in March, we plan to decorate the streetcar. There'll be street pole banners. There'll be, you know, all of our electronic signage throughout the city, billboards, media coverage, signage at the airport, all
right.
Of that typically that you'll see times probably many, many more. So I think you'll start to notice two street closures again as we get closer and building out things. But just that energy, how our city kind of lets us take over with an event like this.
I know this is great for the city, Kathy, but I can just imagine that you're looking forward to the day after this event is over, maybe just as much as you are looking forward to the event coming.
Well, the day after the event, we catch our breath and get ready for that 5-day national convention. So
yeah.
Maybe mid-May.
Okay.
I might disappear for a quick nap in mid-May.
Well, the event, the NFL draft, will be April 27th to 29th down at Union Station in the National World War I Museum and Memorial. I want to thank Kathy Nelson, the CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission, and Aubrey Walton of the NFL. She's the NFL Director of Event Location Strategy and Planning. Thank you both very much for your time today. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks.
After a short break, we'll come back and try to answer the question, why are there so few women jazz players in Kansas City or anywhere for that matter? I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll be right back. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.